It is Monday, April 14th, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick, along with Frank D., another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. But first, let me remind you, Gerwick.net, your 24/7. For all your pro wrestling news, check out Today is Raw. We'll have full coverage of tonight's program, SmackDown tapings this week. Also, check out the current polls to vote on. Check out our audio section, which is getting larger and larger with our podcast. You got the Body Slam podcast, previous interviews we've done. So check out Gerwick.net/audio for all the previous podcasts we've done. And we've got a plethora of things, topics to cover today. And how you doing today, Frank D?
I'm doing great, Steve. Just want to say a special belated happy birthday to my little brother, Mel, and wish you many, many more.
Absolutely. Well, Frank, we've been talking a lot about WrestleMania. We've been talking a lot about WWE Network. We've been talking a lot about, well, last week we, of course, touched upon the Hall of Fame, the passing of the Ultimate Warrior. And today we're going to kind of get into current topics. And I know one that's on a lot of people's mind, especially if you're working for TNA Wrestling right now, is the future of the company. We've seen a couple contracts expire. We know Chris Sabin is now out of the company. We know AJ Styles is out of the company. There's rumors that within a short period of time, they may lose the services of Bad Influence, which is Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. It's a tough situation right now, Frank, because we don't know what's going to happen with their contract situation. Their contract is going to expire this year with Spike TV. And there's a lot of question marks now going on with TNA. We're hearing more and more about talent taking pay cuts to either stay in the company or be a part of the company. So I guess the first question would be, Frank, thoughts on Chris Sabin leaving the company? James Storm is going to stay? Looks like he took a pay cut or about the same deal to stay with the company. And then the possibility of the company also losing Bad Influence.
It's kind of just crazy when you think about it, because last summer, Chris Sabin was on top of the world in TNA. He was getting the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, I was at a show in Las Vegas last summer where TNA did Impact tapings out there, and Sabin was the number one guy against Bully Ray when Ray was Aces and Apes. So to see a guy that came back from two blown out knees and to achieve the world championship, and then he went back and won the exhibition championship, turned heel, and I thought they were going to do something with the guy, and all of a sudden he's out of the company. It's very, very strange. And I guess this is all due to financial situations. I mean, I read over the weekend on Gerwick.net that this all has to do with Chris Sabin getting a deal similar to the one AJ Styles got, and it didn't like the term, so he's out of the company. And I have to say that that is not good. Not good right now, since you have another potential wrestling company forming, and they could obviously get the services of Sabin in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, what a whirlwind for Chris Sabin. He, of course, came back from all those injuries, and then, as you were saying, last July, they put the championship belt on him, and you think they're going to give him a big run, and he only had the title for a couple of months and ended up dropping it again. Actually, I think he only had it a month. I think he lost it at the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. So I think he only had it like about 4 weeks, actually.
Right.
So his run was very short. I always liked Chris Sabin, and I always liked Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley. I know you were saying, you know, Chris Sabin is not the wrestler he was because of the injuries, but it's kind of sad when you see some of the originals leaving the company. You know, we saw AJ's leaving. Alex Shelley was there a long time. He's gone. Chris Sabin is gone. Bad Influence, a lot, you know, those guys have been there for a long time. So it's part of the business that you see talent leaving, come and going, but at the same time, when you're losing your originals, it feels like, you know, part of the company is really dying right now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, honestly, the company's been dead for a while. I mean, really, it all started with the exit of AJ Styles, followed by that of Jeff Jarrett. To me, honestly, I have not really been watching the TNA product as religiously as I was every Thursday night. As bad as it was, I was still watching it. I have not watched it in a while, and I can really care less about what's going on down there. It's just really, to me, it's a dead brand. It's always been a dead brand. It's a brand that when they first started up, they had so much potential to be something and really be an alternative to that of WWE. And somewhere along the way, see, they just turned into WWE version number two, the poor man's version of WCW, in my opinion. And it just, it's all falling apart right now. We're seeing it on his last legs.
Yeah, really. The future of the company, I think, will be determined this year. If they lose television, it's going to be interesting to see if another network is willing to give them an opportunity, because Spike TV has put a lot of money in that company. They've invested in talent. They've invested in production, going live, changing time slots. So Spike has gone out of their way to accommodate Impact, and I think, what, they've been with Impact for, what, 8 or 9 years now, and there's really been no growth.
Yep.
In terms of viewership. And I know you could say it still draws a, you know, a decent rating for Spike, and maybe it really speaks to what, where Spike is right now, because we were just doing the math on Spike a couple podcasts ago. They're not even in the top 20 anymore.
No.
It's a fledgling company network as well.
Yeah, Spike TV is just, I mean, the listeners out there know this. If you've been, you know, following professional wrestling on the cable perspective for years, you know the many different changes that Spike TV went through. First, they were, what, the Nashville Network, and then they became the new TNN, and then it was, what, I believe it was Spike at that point, right? Something like that.
And then it was the Network for Men.
The Network for Men. So they've gone through so many variations over the years of this fledgling network, and they've had reruns of TV shows, and outside of Cops on Spike, nothing really sticks. And I think they thought, you know, after they lost WWE programming, they had to do something to get back at WWE, and that's when they got, you know, TNA, and it's never worked. I mean, the product has been on there, like you said, 8 or 9 years, and it's never drawn anything outside of one. It's just where it's at, and it's always going to be there.
I think a few years ago when they went live with they brought Hulk in, they brought Ric Flair back at what, a spike to a 1.3 rating.
Right.
And you thought maybe they could get a little momentum, but they keep going back, right back down. And it's been 0.9, 0.95, 1.0. And there's just not been the growth in the viewership that's needed to go forward, I think. But you could also say, Frank, that, you know, what draws anything on Spike right now? So, I mean, you could argue that, yeah, it's not great, and there's been no growth in viewership, but it still draws a 1.0.
Yeah, it still draws 1.0, and, you know, it's probably still one of the highest-rated TV shows that gives original content on Spike. You know, you have to give them that they're able to still draw that number, even though the majority of their shows are taped. But still, Spike could come back and say, well, we've invested all this time, we invested all this money, and the product looks like crap. It's not up to our standards. I mean, I believe even when TNA had to go high definition, I believe Spike covered that cost as well. So
yeah, Spike has picked up the bill a lot of times.
Right.
And I know you brought up a scenario, we were just talking offline, a real interesting scenario. What happens, because, and this kind of broke when we were doing a show last week, a podcast, about Jeff Jarrett has gone public saying it's Global Force Wrestling. He got the logo out there. He's on Facebook. He's on Twitter now. I guess they have merchandise they're selling. What would happen if Spike TV decides, okay, we've tried our luck with Impact Wrestling. The company's for sale. They're cutting all their talent. As you said, we've invested a lot of money in this company. Let's try our luck with Global Force Wrestling, and we give a contract to Jeff Jarrett, Toby Keith, as the big backers with this company, and we say goodbye to Impact Wrestling. Let's say this fall they decide they're not going to renew their contract with Impact Wrestling, and suddenly Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling is front and center on Spike TV.
Yeah, and that's a scenario, you know, as we, like you said, we were talking about offline, that could very well happen. That could actually, like, right now be in the works, because TNA has said nothing about any type of a contract extension or a new contract with Spike TV. Jeff Jarrett is all of a sudden sneaking up now with the logo and the new announcements, and everything is like it goes in television. Everything pretty much right now is on the hush-hush. You don't really know what the deal is or what's going on. and just, you know, a lot of the talents that's being released right now from TNA, from the Chris Sabins to the AJ Styles to possibly Kazarian and Daniels, I think they'd be out of their minds if they let Kazarian and Daniels go. That would be a huge, huge mistake. I believe that a lot of these guys, and you were telling me that Jarrett has been taking pictures with the beautiful people and, you know, Lance Archer and all these different people. I very well do believe they'll probably end up wrestling for Jarrett's new promotion, and quite possibly Jarrett will take the time slot of Impact Wrestling this fall, and there will be no more Impact Wrestling. If there is, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure they could probably get a time slot on PBS or something. But ultimately, I just think it's done.
Well, it's interesting because you said there's been no announcement. Spike has not said anything. Impact has not said anything. Impact Wrestling, TNA, they've not said anything. And it's interesting now that Global Force comes about and they have not announced any television deals. And you would the natural progression would be Toby Keith, being the financial backer, gets him a time slot with Country Music Channel.
Right.
Or CMT.
Right.
I saw CMT has like Dukes of Hazzard, so they have other programming just besides country music, but they've not announced anything. So maybe they're not announcing anything because eventually they're going to get that time slot that Impact currently has.
Yeah, I you know, it's either going to be country music television, or it's going to be Spike. It's going to be one of those two companies, and I do believe that CMT. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check this. I think they are a Viacom company as well. There might be a Viacom channel. I'm not sure, though. But if that's the case, and you have CMT with Global Force, and you have Impact on Spike, and they're all Viacom, that's a very, very interesting situation there. Because you have two opposing wrestling companies on two opposing networks that's under one umbrella. So how exactly would that work? Because, you know, well, what would have happened if you know, WCW was still around today and WCW was on a network owned by NBC Universal and WWE was on USA? You think WWE would like WCW to be on one of the networks under the same umbrella that they're a part of? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, but I would have to check that to you know, make sure that, you know, CMT is part of Viacom, but. You know, it's going to be very interesting in the next couple of months to see what happens with that. But I do believe that Impact Wrestling is on its last leg, man. I mean, we've been saying it for years. You know, we've been saying it for years that it's just done. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just, I mean, look at, we were just talking a minute ago about Samoa Joe. Look at what Joe was when Joe first came there and look at him now. There you go. Nothing else needs to even be said about it. It's just,
or Abyss.
Or Abyss. Look at Abyss now. Abyss, where James Mitchell was a monster back in the day. And that's like, I look at Abyss, and TNA has done all the stupid stuff that WWE has done with Kane, the character. That's what TNA has tried to copy, and it's not a good thing.
And this is I think it's a really bad time to be cutting ties with your talent, offering pay cuts to stay with the company. James Storm probably took a pay cut. We haven't got all the details on his contract, but, you know, he probably took a pay cut to stay there, being loyal to the company, which is, you know, great for them. But, you know, if you're in a time right now where you're negotiating a new deal or hopefully trying to stay on the network, Spike TV, not a good time to sever ties with talent. And I agree, Frank, if they lose bad influence. And the thing is, you know, what do you have to replace this? It's one thing to lose talent. It's another thing to have somebody coming up the ladder to replace that talent. And you could say, well, you know, Daniels is 40-some years old now, and they've done everything with him. He's been an X-Division guy. He's been a tag team wrestler. He's done all the great had the great matches with AJ Styles. Maybe it's time to move on. You say, okay, but what do you have to replace him with?
Right.
And I just don't see – I don't see the talent level they have strong enough. I mean, Sam Shaw? Is he gonna be the guy to replace Christopher Daniels?
No.
I mean, I just don't see. I mean, the Bromans, are they gonna be the new bad influence?
No.
So I mean, it's one thing to say goodbye to this talent. You could say, you know, they're older and it's time to move on. But if you don't have anything to replace them with, then you know, you're going to be in a tough situation right now, and especially at a time, as you said, Frank, with Global starting up. Global could say, hey, you know, TNA's had their day. Let's move on, and we're the new company now. Put us on TV.
Well, you know, as you were saying, and I happened to check it out. Yeah, CMT Country Music Television is owned by Viacom. So they are under the same umbrella as Spike and the MTV networks. So like I said, that would be very interesting to see if that were to come about between Impact and Global Force. But going back to what you were saying here, no, I don't think any of these talents that they have right now could touch Bad Influence. Absolutely not. You know, Kazarian and Daniels have been around TNA since the beginning. You know, back in the day. I'm talking about when Daniels was part of Triple X with Elliot Skipper and Low Key. You know, and then when Frankie Kazarian was tag teaming with Matt Bentley back in the day. When he was Michael Shane. Remember those days?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we had him on the old Gerwick Report hotline back in the day,
right,
as well.
So those were TNA original talents right there. So no, the Bromance can't touch him, Sam Shaw can't touch him, Mr. King, he can't touch him. None of these guys. I'm sorry, Anderson. None of these guys can hold a candle to these guys here. You know, and if like if you're Jeff Jarrett, you'll be like, hey, listen, who would know more about TNA's situation than Jeff Jarrett? Who would be able to manipulate the situation in TNA, manipulate how, oh, this is what's going on, they don't have money for this, they have no money for that, than Jeff Jarrett. He was a top level executive at TNA, and a guy decided that he wanted to leave. He wanted out of the company. That ought to tell you something. If a guy who formed the company, it's not worth it to him anymore to stay there. He wants to go do something else, form his own. That ought to tell you something right there about the state of TNA.
You know, Frank, I really think they missed the boat. I mean, they worked out an arrangement with Louisville. They worked out an arrangement with Ohio Valley Wrestling. Of course, all the major stars in WWE came from Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Right.
Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Randy Orton, John Cena, all of them came from OVW. So you work out an arrangement with OVW, and then all you really give them is Rob Terry.
Yeah.
See, the idea would have been go out and sign 3 or 4 or 5 independent wrestlers, guys we've never seen before. Even if they're green. I mean, hell, I mean, John Cena, when he went from UPW to OVW, he was very green, too. So you take a very green talent, let Danny Davis and Rip Rogers and the guys down in Louisville take care of them, fix them up, give them a gimmick, give them a look, work on facials, and then in a couple of years, maybe you have something. But they didn't want to do it that way. They just wanted to send some of the guys down there that they had. I mean, they were going to send King Mo down there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the idea of having a talent relationship with Ohio Valley Wrestling. I mean, that could have really been something for them, and they really squandered that opportunity, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, they could have done a lot there with other guys. Rob Terry is kind of like, what was that guy's name that was there?
Mason Ryan.
Mason Ryan, there you go. They're very similar. They're very alike. They got the big buff billion-dollar bodies and the 10-cent brains. Can't really do nothing. And that's who you send down there to Louisville to train. You don't send the real high quality talent. You send this jabroni who can't do anything. And you got, you know, Mason Ryan down there and the performance. I bet you if WWE released Mason Ryan tomorrow, he'll end up down there at TNA right now. And he'll be pushing the moon. He'll be the new world champion.
You know, that was always the thing. When somebody was released from WWE, we think they show up in TNA, but they're cutting everybody, and there's no money to pay some of these guys. I don't know. I think the TNA days may have dried up.
Well, yeah. Yeah, especially when you can't afford to pay your own talent.
Right. Everybody's taking pay cuts to stay there. I mean, you offered your top stars pay cuts.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't bode well for your company.
Oh. You offered Hulk Hogan a pay cut. He got the hell out of there.
I mean, you offered the company to Toby Keith, and he said no.
Yeah. Well, so, there's a reason why he said no.
You know, I'm sure there's probably a lot of reasons he said no.
Yeah, but you know, the main reason why is I'm not going to put your daughter's not going to stay part of the company and leave her in a position where she's on television.
Yeah, I gotta, in the transitional period, you gotta keep Dixie on staff.
Yeah, let's keep Dixie there. And like I said, you're either selling a damn company or you're not.
Yep. And, of course, last week with Impact Wrestling, they got the title off Magnus, which was a good idea, Frank. I just never bought Magnus as a world champion. Not to say that he's not a good wrestler. He's definitely improved. I got to give him that, but I never saw him as a world championship material. And last week they went with Eric Young to get the championship, a guy who's been there a long time. And I loved Team Canada back in the day. I thought it was a great faction, something we don't really see a lot of anymore, you know, factions in wrestling anymore.
Right.
The guy definitely paid his dues, and you could say he deserves the championship. But, you know, Frank, I just don't buy Eric Young as a world champion. And I honestly don't. As of April 14, 2014, who I'd give the championship belt to, I'm not sure anybody. I mean, as you said, Frank, the title means nothing.
No.
So putting it on Eric Young doesn't elevate him. He doesn't elevate the championship belt. Magnus did nothing for the championship. And the championship belt did nothing for Magnus. I mean, it's getting to the point with everybody leaving. It's like, who cares who the champion is anymore? And no disrespect to Eric Young, because he works really hard, and he's a very good entertainer out there. But to put the title on Eric Young right now, 2014, I just don't buy it, Frank. I just don't see him as a world champion.
No, he's not world champion material. And I've followed Eric Young's career since, you know, the beginning. He was part of, like you said, Team Canada. And then, you know, he became this comedy character. But they tried to be serious with him again when he was part of that faction years ago with British Invasion and all these different guys that came together at one point. I don't know. I forgot what the faction was called. And then he, you know, became babyface again. Then he was part of he was part of the band with Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. So they've done so many things with variations in. The guy gets an Animal Planet show, and now he's a world heavyweight champion. Now, a guy who's been a character on TV for years, like a, you know, pretty much just a comedy figure, is now your world heavyweight champion. Like you said, Steve, it doesn't really matter because the belt doesn't mean a damn thing anyways. I just think that it comes at a time when, you know, hey, Daniel Bryan won it at WrestleMania, so he's their version of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, people have made that comparison, and obviously they both are somewhat comedic characters. They both have the big beards. But as I was saying to you, you know, offline, that's where I think the similarities end, because Daniel Bryan was chasing that championship for a long time. Eric Young didn't have that same buildup. Maybe if they would have done a year where Eric Young is chasing the championship, maybe it would have meant something, but kind of out of the blue, out of nowhere, EY is the champion. And I just don't, I mean, to me, that's where the similarities end with a Daniel Bryan situation. I mean, we wanted to see Daniel Bryan get that championship for a long time, and we see it at WrestleMania versus Eric Young has no build, and suddenly at a Impact taping, he's a champion. I just don't buy it that way.
Well, you know what? I don't really even consider Daniel Bryan a comedy character. I really don't see that. I saw that before.
Not to the same degree as Eric Young, for sure.
Yeah, I saw it before, but I don't see it now. But Eric Young, for the last year, you know, just the last 3 years has been a joke. So I don't see it. I mean, hey, good for Eric Young. But he got the belt, he got the strap, that's good. But other than that, I can't really take it seriously. This guy's not going to draw your company any money. It's not like he's going to fill up those middle schools. Sorry.
Well, one guy who couldn't fill up the middle schools, even when he was part of the company, was Sting. And, of course, Sting has been rumored to go to WWE, possibly do the match with The Undertaker, probably get into the Hall of Fame, do a DVD, get the Legends deal, etc. But, Frank, as of the last word we've heard, Sting got the contract sent to his house, but he's yet to sign it. Maybe he's waiting for Mr. Jarrett to give him a call.
Yeah, I don't know. If Sting were to do that, he's out of his damn mind. You've already been down this road before. You've been down this route. Why would you do it again? I just hope that, you know, this is something that, you know, hey, maybe Sting is, he's just waiting until after the Warriors' funeral is over, and then he'll get back to business, because, you know, this just happened last week. Let's just wait and see what happens with it. I hope Sting isn't that big of an idiot. I mean, to me, I'm really starting to think the guy was stupid to begin with when he was a TNA for all those years for no reason, and he was killing his legacy. But I'm trying to give Sting the benefit of the doubt that maybe it's just because the Warriors' death just happened and we're trying to smooth everything over. Let's get past this, and then we'll get back to business. That's what I'm hoping it is. If he shows up in Jarrett's organization, I'm done with Sting.
Yeah, I don't think so. I agree with you. It's probably the timing of the situation. Obviously, they were not going to do Undertaker versus Sting at WrestleMania 30. And you brought up an interesting situation. Maybe he's upset with Undertaker losing. Maybe they promised him, you know, streak versus career type match for WrestleMania 31, and now that's not going to happen because the streak is gone. So that would be like a big stipulation out of that match. But I do eventually think Sting will sign with WWE. I think he'll finally get his Hall of Fame. He'll probably get one match. And as I said, Frank, if he feels like he's only got one match left in his body, do it in WWE, right? You're going to get the most amount of money. You're going to get the highest profile type situation, even if it's not against The Undertaker. I mean, if they put Sting against John Cena, or they put Sting against The Rock, or Sting against Randy Orton, it's something we've never seen before. It's going to be definitely more high profile than anything you would see in global force wrestling right now.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of money in matches to be made with Sting. If Sting has one more match, if Sting has two more matches, that's a lot more than what he would have in TNA or Jarrett's organization. I mean, Sting drew nothing in TNA while he was there. You know, and bottom line is that if somebody out there is saying that there's no money for Sting in WWE as far as the match goes, you're out of your mind. You don't know the way the business is structured, how the business works, because there's money for Sting. Now, if the situation right now with Sting is that he got a little offended because of the streak ending and that's what's causing him not to sign a contract, I don't know what to tell him, you know? Put it like this. Do you think Sting was promised the streak against The Undertaker? Do you think that's, you know, that could have been the case?
I don't think so. I don't know. It's that old argument of, if you're going to end the streak, give it to somebody that can use the rub, right?
Right, right.
If Sting is retiring, what's the point of Sting winning that match?
Yeah.
If Sting was actually has got one match left and he's going to retire, I would think he'd put the Undertaker over. Want to put the Undertaker over?
Right.
What's the point of him winning?
There's no shame in losing the Undertaker.
Absolutely not, especially at WrestleMania where he has the streak.
Exactly.
Now the question might be today is, with Undertaker losing, do people still really want to see Undertaker versus Sting? And that's why I remember I texted you after Undertaker lost at WrestleMania, and I said, well, maybe they'll do Undertaker Sting at SummerSlam, even as a possibility. But I don't know. You really have to wonder how much more time does Undertaker have?
Yeah,
you know, does he have another? Does he have another Mania in him?
I don't know, man. I mean, with Taker, it's a couple of things that's wrong with Taker right now. And the top of the list for me is the bad hair.
Yes, that look is not
good. That look is not Undertaker. I don't understand what's up with the mohawk, and it just does not look good. It's bad. The guy needs to take some time off. Take some time off and grow your damn hair.
Yes.
It's just why you cut it to begin with, I don't understand it. But it's just bad. So this is not a it's not a good look at all. It makes him look very. It makes the guy honestly look like he's sick or something.
That's why I think people have put it online just jokingly. They could say Brock Lesnar beat a fake Undertaker.
Yeah.
So that monkey wrench, and I mean, not to say they would do that, of course, because they're not gonna. But you could say that wasn't that didn't look like Mark Calloway, did it?
He just looks bad. Yeah. It was really bad, and his age is starting to show. I mean, my sister the other day, we were watching the end of that match where he had with Lesnar, and she says, "Whoa, how old is the Undertaker?" I said, "The guy's like, I think 48, 49." She says, "Wow, he's really showing it now. He's really looking, and she's a huge Undertaker fan." But even, you know, she's a casual fan, not really into him like that. But even she's noticing the age now. And it doesn't help it when you got the damn hair going and the eyeliner. It's just not Undertaker. It's just not what I've grown to know.
Well, I threw it out on our Twitter page, and you can follow us at Gerwick Report on Twitter, twitter.com/Gerwick Report. Follow us there and be part of the conversation. I threw it out. Are fans a little leery about now Sting not signing with WWE? And Baz says, nope, he's not exactly needed for anything right now other than the Hall of Fame and DVDs. I guess it really would depend on, is Sting going to come back and wrestle at WrestleMania? Or, I don't know, Frank, they could at least start building up the man they call Sting, or at least putting him in vignettes, or maybe establishing the legacy, the career of Sting to new casual WWE fans.
Well, the problem with that is Sting needs to put his Steve Borton signature on that contract.
That's right.
We can start building the man called Sting, and Sting can come back any way he wants. Sting can come back as the Bart Simpson hairdo Sting from back in the day, as Bobby Heenan would say. Or he can come in as a Crow. Just don't come in as that terrible incarnation we saw in TNA. Don't do that. Just come in with, he's another guy. I'm a Sting fan, but I have to point out the obvious. Sting was kind of going bald a little bit there in the middle. It was on top of his head there. Now, here's a guy who still has his hair. He can go, to the hair club for men and get his hair back. And then when he comes back, Steve, I'm telling you, he'll look like the old Sting from back in 97. But he'll wrestle like Sting, of 2014. But there's still money there. There will always be money in Sting. Doesn't matter.
Or he could visit Hulk Hogan and get that NWO spray paint his head.
You know what? That was the stupidest thing I ever seen. that was the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. The NWO holding Macho Man down, and Hogan's talking about Hogan's bald, and he's going to spray paint the Macho Man's bald head because the glare off the Macho Man's bald head is getting to him. It's just the dumbest stuff I've ever seen. It's really ridiculous. And I think people used to do that for real. They used to do that for real. Take that spray paint and spray their heads with it.
We've got, going back to Chris Sabin, we have Robert Barron III on our Twitter page says, I would give anything to see a WWE main event featuring Daniel Bryan versus Chris Sabin.
Yeah, I'm sorry there, partner, but that's never going to happen. WWE right now is all about making their own talent, and they've hired this ex-football player, whatever the hell the guy is. I have no idea.
Sean Merriman.
Yeah, never even heard of the guy. They're going to bring him on board, and he's going to be on these stupid Raw panels they have before Raw and all that. That's what he's doing. He was at the WrestleMania panel. Another reason why it will never work is because Chris Sabin doesn't wrestle the same style as he did years ago. He just doesn't. He wrestles the way he does now because his knees he can potentially be done if he falls the wrong way. If he does anything the wrong way, it's finished. So that's why that match just right now wouldn't be any good.
I would like to see Chris Sabin back in the day when he's with Alex Shelley, that period, against Brian Danielson from Ring of Honor. Now, that would tear the house down.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they would let Daniel Bryan wrestle the style that he wrestles. I guess we should congratulate Daniel Bryan. He officially tied the knot with Bray Bella. And, of course, that was going to be filmed for WWE Total Divas, if you're into that show, which I'm not. But apparently some people like to enjoy the show. In fact, Frank, more people watch Total Divas than they watch Impact.
I really can believe that, see? There's nothing compelling about watching Impact. I mean, you're watching Impact and you're watching people go out there and do bad acting skits. I mean, look, Christy Hemme is on the Impact Wrestling booking committee now, isn't she? And she are,
yes.
She's doing their costumes and all this other stuff. She's putting her input in. What the hell has Christy Hemme ever done for the business? In the business? Come on, really? So
post for Playboy? I don't know.
I guess. So I'm not really digging it. So it doesn't really matter to me. As far as Daniel Bryan with Brie, Bella, yeah, I guess congratulations, I guess. I mean, she's the one that doesn't have the big breasts, right? She's the one with the small ones, right?
Yeah, I think she's the more down-to-earth of the two, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Nikki always comes off. Nikki's with John Cena, and they always say that she's kind of the more, I don't know.
Right.
Into herself, maybe. Self-centered kind of one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Between the two, I don't know.
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I wouldn't take either one of them. I wouldn't take either one. The main one on the roster that Frank D would mess with would be AJ Lee. That's the bottom line on that one.
And she's taken out with your favorite wrestler, so.
Yeah.
But we won't mention his name here.
No, I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to mention Phil's name.
Now, one thing I want to get into just briefly, because some people, you know, going with this wedding, and Daniel Bryan is a huge Ultimate Warrior fan.
Yeah.
Some people thought with his wedding only a couple days after, you know, what happened with Ultimate Warrior, maybe he should have postponed it. You know, I saw some of that criticism online from some of the fans out there. If you got to remember with weddings is you prepay for all this stuff. You prepay for a DJ. You prepay for a pastor. You prepay for a venue. You prepay for all your food. And I think it would have been tough for them to move it, in, you know, even in light of the Ultimate Warrior situation. So I think you got to cut the guy a little bit of slack. It was a couple days after Warrior passed, and I can't criticize Daniel Bryan. I mean, it was time for him to get married, and, you know, he did it.
Yeah, there's no criticism for me about that either. Bottom line, people die every day. People die you don't even know about die every day. And this thing was already set a long time ago. Daniel Bryan, you did what you had to do. I'm pretty sure that if it had been reversed, Warrior would have continued to do what Warrior was going to do. So I don't have a problem with it at all.
Well, my thought, too, was, you know, Daniel Bryan is a Ultimate Warrior mark.
Right.
Would Ultimate Warrior want him to cancel his wedding?
Absolutely not.
Probably not.
Warrior would have said, go and do it.
Yep. Absolutely. So I thought that was – I just saw that a couple people, you know, were chiming in that they were critical of Daniel Bryan for that. I can't knock the guy for that. He waited a long time to marry Brie Bella, and we do – wish them both success, and hopefully their marriage works out. Because we know, Frank, how difficult wrestling marriages are.
Yeah, they can be very, very difficult. But at least these two are on the road together.
True.
And it should be healthy for them because they're on the road together, and they're both involved in sports entertainment. So it should work out fine for them. And I do honestly still wish them both the best. They seem like very good people. And Daniel Bryan right now is at the top a lot. I mean, Daniel Bryan was a guy who was not supposed to happen. And he happened. He happened because a certain Phil Brooks got out of the way.
I was going to say, if that doesn't happen, we would have had that guy against Triple H, and Daniel Bryan probably would have wrestled Sheamus at WrestleMania. So it's funny how these things work out sometimes in wrestling.
Yep.
Now, we want to talk a little bit about Ultimate Warriors in terms of the media coverage. And I know we got a little bit into the Nancy Grace situation. She brought on Diamond Dallas Page to get into what happened with Ultimate Warrior. And I mean, she basically said, you know, what happened to Ultimate Warrior as if, you know, Diamond Dallas Page is a physician. Like, he would know, you know, what happened with him. And I know you also want to talk a little bit about comments made by an ESPN personality as well.
Yeah. Nancy Grace is a piece of garbage. Truly is. And I got no respect for her or her wannabe journalistic capabilities, if that's what she wants to call herself. And there's a petition out there right now. If you Google it, it's a Nancy Grace petition to get her off of CNN, because CNN sucks anyways. And nobody watches it.
Watch it. No.
So you might as well go ahead and get that piece of loose trash off of the air, because she just spits venomous poison, and that's all she does. Anytime that she's ever talked about anybody. I mean, a woman was on her show, was talking about her baby being missing, and Nancy Grace went into her, and the woman ended up killing herself the next day. She's a vile, miserable piece of crap, is what she is. And she needs to be canceled and go rot in hell for the things she says. That's how I feel about it. As far as the other guy there, the Colin, what's his name? Colin Cowherd? Colin wrestling fans, booger eaters. That right there just shows me, really, you have a real third grade education. Because what kind of a grown man would call people booger eaters when there's so many other words that you can use? I'm not going to repeat any of the words here, but you all get where I'm coming from. That's just a stupid statement. And that's just right there. It shows me of a guy who really doesn't get laid. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, he's been on wrestling fans for a long time. And there was other sports personalities out there. I heard that, you know, that people would call in and say, you know, what's the legacy Ultimate Warrior? And they'd say, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
So it's sad that, you know, wrestling gets that. I mean, sometimes it gets a lot of love from the media. And then at other times, especially when they want to pin it on steroids, then they want to talk about wrestling, right?
Well, you know what? Here's the legacy of the Ultimate Warrior. And we kind of talked about this the last podcast. But to me, the legacy of the Ultimate Warrior is intensity, intelligence, outspoken. Guy was very motivational in getting people to do things, to get people reacting. I don't care what people have to say negatively about the Warrior. When Warrior was in the ring, Warrior could deliver on basically being the Ultimate Warrior. Warrior was not a Bret the Hitman Hart or a Chris Jericho or Eddie Guerrero. He ain't supposed to be. He's supposed to be the jacked up guy that goes out there and kicks somebody's ass and runs back to their back. That's what his job was. So
let me say this about Warrior too in the media, because he had conservative views.
Right.
He was not a fan of the current administration. And, you know, my thought, you know, he had some comments about gay marriage that upset people as well. And to me, if he would have been a big Obama person, would have been pro-Obamacare and some of the things that the Obama administration does, I think he'd be viewed a lot differently than he is today. I think a lot of people, especially in the media, who usually point to the left of center on political issues, look down on him because of his views, his viewpoints on a lot of things. He was very outspoken, especially in his later years. You know, he did motivational speeches, but he also did political rants as well. And I think that upset a lot of people. And I think that's one of the reasons he gets so much. The media kicks him around as they do because some of the viewpoints that he expressed over the years.
Yeah, he said some things about a couple of actors who have passed away as well. You know, Heath Ledger. He said something about Heath Ledger's daughter was better off with Heath Ledger dead, because Heath Ledger made the, as he called it, the queer movie. I think it was, what was that movie he did, Brokeback Mountain, I think it was, something like that.
Yeah.
So he said that. He also said that, it's kind of crazy. I mean, the guy just passed away, but, you know, on the GERD report, we kind of keep it real at all times, you know, and just tell it like it is. But the guy also said something about, you know, Bobby Heenan deserved what he got, and he was a bastard pretty much for everything he said about him in that DVD. And it's crazy. This is stuff that would come out of Warrior's mouth.
And I kind of think because of the things that he said in the past, kind of hurts him from a media standpoint now. People want to, I'm not saying they want to pee on his grave, but he's not a guy they look positively upon. You can always tie steroids with his situation. Certainly the guy was on the juice over the years. Political views, obviously wrestling to some people is not a legitimate sport, not a legitimate industry. So you add all those factors up. I think that's why you're seeing a lot of the media people out there really go after him in professional wrestling. And professional wrestling always, you know, Colin, what's his name? You know, I'm not even going to give him the respect because he doesn't deserve any respect when he you know, craps on this industry. Is that's what they want to do. They look for those opportunities to take cheap shots at professional wrestlers, professional wrestling fans, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. And then you have a polarizing character like Ultimate Warrior, just kind of adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I think that's why you're seeing Nancy Grace and some of these other idiots out there. She is an idiot. And I agree with Frank. You know, sign that petition. It's online. In fact, I think I linked to it both on my Twitter page and my Facebook page. I'm a complete moron. And CNN got rid of Piers Morgan, you know, that British redcoat who was trying to go after the Second Amendment, say that, you know, we're all killers because we have our guns. Well, that guy got his ass thrown off TV. Sent him back to the British. In fact, he can't go back to his homeland because of all the mess he got into with wiretappings and all kinds of plagiarism. I mean, even his home country don't want him. He's over here on CNN saying that we're bad because we have the Second Amendment. You know, if you feel that way, buddy, go to North Korea then. That's what you really feel about it. So we got rid of Piers Morgan. Let's get rid of Nancy Grace. In fact, you know what? Honestly, call your cable provider. Tell them to get rid of CNN. Get rid of CNN Headline News. It's all garbage. All these networks out there spew a bunch of lies. ABC News, CBS News. They're all backed by Disney, GE, defense contractors, push global warming. They're not telling you the truth anyways. Fox News, get rid of them all. Call your satellite provider and say get rid of CNN. I mean, when they get rid of Nancy Grace, get rid of CNN. Who needs it anymore?
Right.
I mean, when it first started, it was new. It was revolutionary. It was 24/7, you know, Ted Turner, you know, billionaire Ted, 24/7 news channel. But it's just propaganda today. We don't need it. Get rid of this crap. You know, boycott CNN. Tell DirecTV and Comcast and all your providers to get rid of CNN and get rid of Nancy Grace. Get rid of them all, Frank.
Yep.
Don't need them.
That's how I feel about it. I mean, the glory days of CNN are long gone.
Absolutely. Who needs them? Yep. Like I said, you don't get your legitimate news anyways from those sources. You know, go to the alternative news sources to get real news. I mean,
yep.
Objective news. And GE and NBC and all these guys got agenda to push global warming and push these wars because their defense contractors make all that money. It's just ridiculous. So boycott CNN and boycott all those stupid networks. You don't need them. Legitimate news is out there if you want to find it. There's alternative news sources, real news sources of information. And I think you've seen the viewership of CNN go down. You've seen the viewership of MSNBC go down. And they should, because they're just lying to you anyway. It's just propaganda. You know, Rachel Maddow, take her down, too. Can't stand to look at her either.
Yeah.
Yeah. But going back to wrestling here, Frank, WWE Network, something we've talked about a lot. They're talking about possibly increasing the prices on the subscription service for WWE Network. I've heard rumors possibly they get bumped up to $11.99 in price. We're also hearing that they're kind of going to get away from calling their big shows pay-per-views. They're going to call them like special attractions or special shows. And I think it really ties into, Frank, that they're going to get away from pay-per-views. They want all the pay-per-views on the network, so let you buy the network. You're going to see DirecTV and Comcast and all these other major providers, Dish Network, phasing out pay-per-views. And they're going to call Extreme Rules and Money in the Bank and SummerSlam special attractions rather than call them pay-per-views. I think that's the direction WWE is going with the network right now.
Well, of course, because that's where TV is going anyways. I mean, we've already been knowing this for years. Right now, I mean, let's just be honest about the situation. As you and I were talking offline, the UFC is hammering WWE's ass as far as pay-per-view goes. So there is no more pay-per-view. The pay-per-view market for WWE is completely done. So they know this. So add them onto the network, probably jack the price up a little bit. I mean, you were telling me about $11, maybe up to $14. Who knows what it's going to be. I, myself, personally, have no problem paying that price if I was to get what I want. And that's the undubbed music on the network. Jimmy Garvin coming out to ZZ Top. Midnight Express coming out to Midnight Express. If I get to hear the songs again, I got no problem paying the extra money. You know, WWE makes their profit, and at the same time, they pay for the copyrights of the music. Not a problem, not an issue. Because a lot of that ECW stuff on there, Steve, I don't know if you have saw it or not, it's unwatchable.
Yeah, because they were using all the heavy metal music back in the day.
Heavy metal music. I mean,
Pantera, Metallica, all those bands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unwatchable stuff. ECW, One Night Stand, 05. Unwatchable because they completely, one of the coolest moments of that show was watching the Sandman come out to the ring and the whole Hammerstein Ballroom is singing Enter Sandman. The whole moment is completely removed from the network. It was removed from the DVD when it first came out, and it's been removed from the network as well. It just really sucks. So in that regard, if they want to charge an extra price, they're going to have to do something in return to make me want to pay that $11 or $14.99 or whatever it may be. And that is, give us what we want, which was promised, unedited, uncut, uncensored. And that's exactly, they have done the complete opposite. And they talk about 667,000 subscribers that they have, and some people thought the number would be higher because you're offering WrestleMania. Okay, here's the bottom line. You offer WrestleMania 30, and it was a show that was not built up the way it should have been. Period. And some people, you know, I was saying, oh, this is the rest of WrestleMania we've seen, blah, 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 blah. I don't believe that to be the case at all. It had its moments. But to say that this is one of the best shows you ever saw, what are you even watching?
To say it's one of the best WrestleManias of all time?
Right.
When it's probably in the middle somewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, if you legitimately rank the best WrestleManias, I mean, some people were saying, you know, it's the best WrestleMania of all time, and I'm thinking, what? Have you gone back and watched WrestleMania 10 before?
Yeah.
Really? And I agree, you know, over the last decade, Frank, and we ran the poll, you know, what was the best WrestleMania in the last 10, and WrestleMania 30 won pretty easily. I was partial to 25 only because of the Undertaker-HBK match.
Right.
You know, was there one match on WrestleMania 30 that blew you away? Was there anything that touched Undertaker HBK the first match on WrestleMania 30? I'll say no.
No. I mean, you had Daniel Bryan go out there and work two matches that were, I think the first one was a five-star Triple H, and the last one, hey, it was what it was. But other than that, I mean, the only thing that you're going to come out of WrestleMania 30 remembering is the day the streak ended.
One of the most overbooked main events. I mean,
it
had great spots, don't get me wrong,
yeah.
And memorable spots, but, I mean, I can't rank it as, like, one of the top matches I've ever seen at WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, and people just say WrestleMania 30 was one of the best WrestleManias. I mean, hey, if you haven't seen a lot of if you've only seen the last couple, maybe you say, yeah, that's the best WrestleMania I've ever seen, Frank. But,
right.
You know, if you got the network, go back and watch some of those old WrestleManias. Go back and watch WrestleMania 6 and watch Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Go back to WrestleMania 3 and watch Savage and Steamboat. I mean, from a show standpoint. But, you know, Frank, I agree with you. If they're going to raise the price on the WWE Network, and I've always thought, you know, when they launch this, it's all trial. Eventually, there's going to be some changes to it. The price is going to increase. I know what they're going to say, Frank. They're going to say, well, you know, we're adding content all the time, Frank. We're adding more pay-per-views. You're probably going to see classic Nitros. You're probably going to see classic Raws. You're probably going to see classic SmackDown and Thunders at some point. And it's worth the extra money. And some people would even say, Frank, you know, $9.99, it's a steal of a deal. Plus, you get the pay-per-views. But I agree. If you're telling me that I go back and I watch an ECW pay-per-view and there's no Pantera for RVD's Walk music, if there's no AC/DC for Chris Candido, if there's no Sandman, Metallica, what are you really giving me?
Yep.
You're not giving me a show I remember.
Yep.
When I watch Starrcade and there's no Midnight Express and there's no Rock and Roll Express music,
yep.
What are you really giving me?
Yep.
And there's no the Rick Rude music is gone, and some of the other music edits they've made. You know, Jimmy Garvin's, as you said, Sharp Dressed Man's gone.
Yep.
I mean, I was telling Frank offline, every time Sharp Dressed Music comes on my radio, I think gorgeous Jimmy Garvin coming out with Precious, spraying the spray can.
Yep.
And that's gone?
Yep.
And now you want to pay me? You want me to pay $11.99 or $12.99 or $14.99? I agree with Frank. I think you got to correct the issues with the music before you really start talking increases in prices.
Yeah.
And until you do that, I keep the price where it is right now.
Yeah, and it can be done. It's going to take WWE to make it happen, and they're going to have to do something that Vince doesn't like to do, and that's just pay royalties for the music. I mean, the bottom line is that WWE has a lot of sucky-ass music that they have in their archive that they put on TV that they pay for. It's real cheap, generic pieces of garbage. I don't want to hear it anymore. I want to hear the real deal. When I'm watching Starrcade and I'm seeing the Road Warriors come out, or I'm seeing Midnight Express come out, I want to hear Midnight Express. If I see the Skyscrapers come out, you know, I want to hear China White from the Scorpions. That's what I want to hear.
That's true.
Yeah, like I said, make the corrections. I'll pay the price. It's not a problem about paying the money. It's about WWE doing what they need to do.
Like I said, Frank, the argument is going to be we're adding, you know, we're constantly adding new content, and we're giving you additional shows, different specials. We're going to have probably more NXT live shows. I guess now they have basically the WWE main event is off Ion, is now exclusively on WWE Network. So the argument's going to be, you know, we're constantly adding, you know, new content, giving you new shows, and it's worth the price increase. But again, all those edits, it's hard to ignore, and especially you go back and you watch a classic pay-per-view, and it's just not what you remember because everything's been, you know, a lot of the music's been dubbed out. And it's one thing to dub out the music, but then put that real generic stuff that makes no sense. I said that old argument with WKRP, the Les Nessman scene, where they took Hot Blooded out and they just put some generic music. It just kills it. It totally kills the show.
Yeah.
And I think WWE, like I said, you know, you did a great idea. Go on WWE's Network's Facebook page and complain about it.
Yeah. You got, and let
them know.
And that's what you do. And they always come back and say, well, you know what? We don't have any information right now. We, you know, the content. So here's the thing. We don't know exactly yet how to get to the higher-ups at WWE Network. And that means the content team. Those are the people who put the stuff up there. Those are the people who dub the videos. Those are the ones who does this. So those are the people that I want to get in contact with. These Facebook people, yeah, you put your Facebook post on there and they'll read it. And who knows if they're actually sending it to them or not. But those are the people who need to be told, you know what? Stop dubbing the Midnight Express. Stop dubbing. Hey, listen, I know the deal already with Voodoo Child. That costs a lot of money. I understand that. I wouldn't pay it either. But Midnight Express, come on. That can't be that much.
You understand it, but at the same time, when he's chopping down the wood, Hulk Hogan, what do you replace it with?
It doesn't look right to me when he's coming out with the NWO music. I've seen it.
You can't chop it down to the porno music.
Yeah, you can't.
You run into these really ridiculous edit cuts, and you're doing it just to save money. And it's, as we said before, a lot of these artists, ELO and some of the other bands that's got the music out there, can't cost that much. Okay, you may, as you said, maybe Jimi Hendrix, the estate wanted a lot for that music. Okay. Maybe you take one or two pieces of music and say we're just not going to pay for that. But there's a large library of songs out there they could easily pay the money for. And if we're going to increase the price to $12.99 or $11.99 or $14.99, let's make these corrections and give the fans really what they want.
Exactly. WWE, I just got a message earlier, a little while ago, when we first started doing this podcast, WWE talking about another free trial of the network.
Yep, I got that too while we were talking.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, hell, they're trying to get all these people back that they lost from all the issues with the Xbox 360 and the Roku, and they're still having issues right now. As I'm talking to you right now, Starrcade 94 is missing from the network.
Let me say this, because I'm on Roku, and Frank's on PlayStation, and we're not getting the same content.
No.
Because Frank will say, check this out on the network. And I look forward. I think it was, the other NWO Roundtable?
Right.
You said, go check out the Roundtable discussion on NWO. So I was like, okay, great. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch this. And I'm looking through my guide. It's not there.
Yep.
And you're telling me where to look. It's in the vault. It's the Legends of Wrestling. And I'm looking, and it's given me about 8 different episodes to pick from.
Right.
And none of them is NWO. Right. It's like, Frank, it's not here. And then I go on WWE.com, check their library, and, of course, there it is. So I had to watch the NWO episode on WWE.com. The content that you're seeing that's on the website, that's probably on your phone as well, the app,
right,
is not the same as on the Roku box.
No, it's different for everybody. Like, we can be
that's
talking
ridiculous.
Right now. I can have all the pay-per-views on my PS, my PS3. Then I'll go on my phone, on my Galaxy, and it's on there. But then say I'll go on the laptop, and it won't be on there. And then I'll read the post from everybody else, and I'll go, you know, on the 360 Xbox, and, oh, Xbox doesn't have all the content either. What happened on the pay-per-views? So the bottom line it all comes back to this MLB, this company that they're dealing with. They suck. And everybody says they suck. Kind of like how I don't like the fact that the live stream can be playing on the computer live, but on the PlayStation 3, you got to push the play button for it to play on the live stream to play, which is completely stupid to me.
Yeah, so I think they got issues, serious issues to work out. And I do think eventually they're going to try to get the WWE Network on DirecTV and Dish Network and especially if those providers say, you know what, I don't think we're going to show Extreme Rules. I don't think we're going to show Money in the Bank. I don't think we're going to show TLC. I don't think we're going to show Battleground.
Yeah. I look at Netflix and I look at the wide range of programming they have, and it's just, to me, a much smoother engine they have right over there on Netflix. And it's just more crisp. I look at the WWE. I was watching something this morning. It was the WWE had one of these From the Vault moments where it was Chris Jericho's highlight reel with Eric Bischoff and Jim Ross. And the damn picture is all zoomed in. And I mean, they need to work on their ratios, man. Just not good stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of this was... they wanted to have all of these 400 pay-per-views ready to launch and say, we got all this content. And now that we've seen it, there's definitely issues there. As I said, I'm frustrated. I'm a Roku watcher, and I don't have all the content that's on the WWE website or the app. Or Frank's telling me, you know, why I'm watching this on my PlayStation. I can't watch it on my Roku. I have to watch it either through my computer or through my app, and I don't want to do that. I want to watch it on my Roku where I can watch it on my television. So I definitely think they have to work out some issues with the content. I mean, we've done a couple podcasts where we've been critical of WWE. We've been a couple podcasts where we're, you know, putting it over as a great value. I still think at $9.99 is a great value, but there's got to be issues that they have to resolve, especially, as I said, you know, with my Roku not having all the content available. It's on other platforms. And, Frank, at some point they really seriously have to do something with the music edits.
Yeah, music edit is one of the biggest issues I have with the network. Like I said, it's a great deal for the content you're getting, but the music is a problem. And that's just about
mine. And the platform's not working correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, why does it work for one platform but not the other platform? Why can you watch certain shows on your PlayStation that I can't on my Roku?
Yeah,
They have to work that it. They have to work that out.
They have to work out every damn thing they got going.
Especially to make a price increase at this point. I'm not saying they're gonna make the price increase, but it's something that they've discussed internally. So it's gonna be interesting to see if they go that direction. And again, are you a subscriber, and B, are you willing to pay $11.99? Are you willing to pay $12.99? Are you willing to pay $14.99?
You know, it's funny, Steve, as we're talking right now, I'm going through my Netflix, and I just seen right now, No Holds Barred is on Netflix, but it's not on the WWE Network.
Yeah, there's actually a sizable content of programming, wrestling programming on Netflix that you don't get on the network right now.
Right.
It seems kind of backwards, but...
Yeah,
that's the situation we're in right now. So, you know, we'll throw it out to the readers, the listeners, the fans of Gerwig.net in this podcast. Are you a subscriber, A? And B, are you willing to pay a couple more dollars a month to have a essentially the same thing right now until they start to add some of the old Raws and Nitros, which I think a lot of us would like to go back and watch some of those.
Well, I looked on there this morning as far as, you know, the stuff that they're going to be adding on there. And it does say later, you know, 2014, it does say that they're going to be adding Clash of Champions and Saturday Night's Main Event. I guess that's stupid Saturday Morning Slam Show. And WCW Nitro is on the list. But, man, you know, when I look back at Saturday Night's Main Event, I remember hearing the song Obsession. And I know for a fact that's probably going to be gone.
Yep, I would think so.
Which is going to really kill the whole nostalgic feeling that you're trying to get there. That's what I'm saying. It really kills the whole point of the WWE. The WWE Network is supposed to be about nostalgia. It's supposed to be about mixing old with the new.
In fact, I was saying before, the ZZ Top song, Sharp Dressed Man, when it comes on, I always think of Jimmy Garvin. And when I ever hear Obsession, whenever time I hear Obsession, I instantly think Saturday Night's Main Event. So if it's gone, it's going to seem really odd. I'm sure it's going to be gone. So
yeah, it was gone. It was gone.
That's what you're going to get.
Yep. It was on Crash Is Not a Man. It was gone.
Wow. Well, again, you know, we want your feedback. Leave us comments at Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Gerwick, GERWECK at Gerwick Report. You can follow our podcast, interact with discussions that we have. Sometimes I just throw a topic that we're going to discuss on the podcast and get your feedback, and you might even get your tweet read right here on the podcast, so you can interact with us there. You can always email me at betweentheropes@hotmail.com. You can like us on Facebook. I'm also Steve Gerwick on Facebook as well, which you may find the petition to get rid of Nancy Grace on there as well. So you can always interact with us. We try to be as interactive as we can with the fans out there, the readers, the listeners of Gerwick.net. Always appreciate the support. Of course, follow us for Raw, follow us for the SmackDown coverage this week, and all those special attractions.
Right.
Because we're not going to call them pay-per-views anymore. So all our future attractions, special attractions coming to WWE, can always follow us at Gerwick.net for your wrestling news. And as always, Frank, appreciate it. Enjoyed this podcast. Covered a lot of the current topics going on, and always good to just talk wrestling.
Yeah, but don't forget the Ultimate Warrior tribute show tonight on Monday Night Raw. So it's going to be very interesting to see what that's like, what they're going to give us.
Absolutely. So tune in Monday Night for Raw and follow the coverage at Gerwick.net and interact with the comments going on the message board during Raw. Always like to have your feedback. Give us your 2 cents during the show. Let us know what you're thinking of Raw. And it might be something that we could even address here on the Gerwick Report. Sometimes we'd like to take some of the comments we get on just the Gerwick.net message board and interact with you there. So the fact that we did a lot of that with the DDP Hall of Fame situation. So if an interesting comment you make at Gerwick.net, might be addressed right here on the Gerwick Report. So again, we do appreciate you listening. Definitely check out Gerwick.net and check out the archives for our previous podcast. And we definitely recommend last week's podcast we did on the Ultimate Warrior a couple days after his passing. We did a kind of a tribute looking back at his life and career. So definitely check out Gerwick.net, the audio section. Go to the bottom of the page, check out previous podcasts and interviews right here at Gerwick.net.